All right, we are live. So thanks everyone for attending another one of my webinars here. For those of you who don't know, my name is James Wilson. I've got MTB Strength Training Systems, the website bikejames.com. Helped a lot of riders over the last 10 plus years, everyone from weekend warriors to World Cup pros, improve their riding through understanding how to use strength training and mobility training and a lot of these things that I talk about on these webinars and on my blog to improve their riding. So what I'm gonna do today is share what I call my FPI system of program design. And what it is, it's just basically how I try to look at, when I sit down, I'm looking at, okay, I'm gonna write a program for somebody and create a program. What's kind of the basic framework, the system that I use? Because there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. You know, some are definitely better than others. But the point is if you understand kind of the right questions to ask and then kind of the right ways to think about answering those questions, then it makes it a lot easier to make smart training decisions. Because a lot of times that's what it comes down to. You got to choose, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to do A or am I going to do B? And understanding, you know, or, you know, a lot of times it's not just A and B. It's like a whole bunch of huge choice of stuff. I mean, you go look on the internet for ways to improve your mountain bike performance, you know, off-season training program, and you're going to find a ton of different options. And so, you know, again, there's a lot of different ways to improve, but understanding, you know, kind of what questions to ask and how to answer those questions can help you make a smarter decision and perhaps choose a program that is geared more towards what you're looking for and avoid some of the common mistakes that that people make. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to the PowerPoint that I have put together. And again, the PowerPoint's more to keep me on track than anything else. And so I'm going to go through that real quick. And we do have the chat room. We've already got Mike saying, what's up, James? What's up, Mike? So yeah, anyone who's attending, please just, you know, say hi, introduce yourself. You got any questions, you know, post them up there. The way that this is set up, I can't see the questions as I'm doing the PowerPoint presentation. And so I'll be able to see them though directly after. So anyway, so but as you have questions that pop up, just go ahead and post them up there on the chat board. And that way I can get to them as soon as I'm done with the kind of the overview. So without any further ado here, I got to get the screen share going and then we'll be ready to go. So, all right, and boom, we are set. So FPI system of program design. What is the FPI system of program design? It's created to help me filter new information and options, more than one option usually, and options while staying focused on the needs of each client. And so, like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of information that's constantly coming our way. And you know, it's both good and bad. You know, in the old days before the internet, like whatever the magazine that you got your hands on told you to do was what you did, because that's the only choice that you had to do. And so in some ways it made life easier. And so now we have all this information, and so the trick is how do we filter this information, all these options that we have, while staying focused. In my case, I created it because I'm training a lot of different clients. And, you know, at my training facility, I was training clients in a variety of different things. It wasn't just, you know, mountain bikers. It was mainly mountain bikers. But, you know, we had fat loss. We had, you know, youth athletes. We had, you know, older athletes. It was, you know, so the idea was like, how do I have a way to filter this new stuff? You know, I see a new kettlebell exercise. Well, is that going to be, how, you know, where does this fit in? Like, how do I use this? I don't want to just start using stuff haphazardly without understanding where it kind of fits into the overall system. And the other thing that it does that helps you avoid common mistakes, like choosing the wrong exercises, methods, or loads, and which pretty much covers the entire spectrum. I'm not sure what else you can do with a program. And so, you know, your common mistakes pretty much encompass everything. And what it boils down to is somebody choosing the wrong exercise. So either something that's too complex or choosing the wrong exercise to get in shape for their specific sport, methods, you know, just, you know, different Three sets of 10 is pretty simple using an undulating wave pattern, blah blah blah. That's a really complex method. Some are more appropriate than others, and also loads, whether you're going too heavy or too light. Again, you see some programs where they're telling cyclists to do, sets of 20, 30, 40 reps, which is too light. And so, if you make a mistake and you choose the wrong exercise method or load, then you can really set back the results that you're going to see, or worse yet, not really see any results at all. Like, that's kind of the thing we really want to avoid, is spending all of our time, spending training in the off season and then hitting the trail and feeling like, holy crap, what did I do all off season? Like, I don't feel like I'm in any better shape. Like, I'm in worse shape than when I was. So anyway, so I hope you avoid the common mistakes there. So what is FPI? Number one is focus. Focus. What is the purpose of the program, phase, and workout? And this is kind of the big picture question that you need to ask yourself. So what's the purpose of the program? And again, it's really easy to get kind of lost if you don't understand. Like, if you are a, for example, a downhill racer, and you race on Saturdays at 2 p.m., like, that you need to keep that in mind while you're looking at your program. So little things like making sure that you have a hard ride consistently around the same time that you usually race. Like, this is a big mistake that people make, is they don't think about, like, man, I need to train my body. I need to get my body prepared for putting out a hard effort on this day around this time. And so, just something as little as that can make a difference. But beyond that, just remembering, what is the specifics of your sport and your discipline. If you're, hurtling down a mountain in 3 to 5 minutes versus on a cross country race course for, an hour and a half to hour and 45 minutes versus a 2 day enduro stage where you've got a couple stages, or 3 to 5 stages where you're going extremely hard with easy transfer stages in between. Like, all of these things are different, and so and they all require, like, just kind of a, but if you're not thinking about, like, what is the point of this, it's really easy to just start doing stuff and not realize why am I doing this, So phase is where are you at within just your overall program. Like, is this, off season or in season? Is this early off season or in season? Like, for example, if we're doing early off season, well, that's, GPP, general physical prep. And so, what's the focus of that? And well, that's to fill in the movement gaps and actually give our body a break from a lot of cycling specific stuff. And so, understanding that, knowing that we're going to be ramping up, having this big picture thing in mind, allows you to step away from some of the specific stuff at times, knowing what it's doing, like, what's the focus and how does it fit into the big picture of what we're doing. And then, getting down to just the daily level, the workout, having hard, moderate, and light workouts. Every workout can't be hard. What's the focus of that workout? Is it a strength? Is it, cardio? Is it, skills? What is it? Again, so just kind of having some sort of idea of what your focus is. And focus is number one, because, like, really, if you do nothing else, like, just understanding what your focus is of your program. If you're just an average trail rider and you're going out for an hour to 2 hours and, just wanting to, like, do well with your local riding group and perhaps, move up a few places, it and just have fun. I mean, that's, you got to keep that in mind, right? So maybe the program is made for the guy who's trying to be a serious, cross country racer, or marathon racer isn't necessarily the best option for you. But anyway, so focus, that's number one. Number two is progression. So this is understanding where's the rider within their training block and their movement skills. And so your training block is going to be the again, it goes back to the focus. Okay, first, what phase are we in? And then within that, you can start to understand, well, what's the training block? And so training blocks are usually where you're focused on specific things. And so it may be strength or power, maybe, functional movement, restoring any gaps and things like that that may be there, or filling in any movement gaps and stuff that may be there. So within that training block, there'll be better options than others. So for example, if you're training block, the focus is strength. Using slow tempos, like coming down to a count of two and up to a count of two without any pause in between, just trying to keep that slow, constant tension on the muscle. That's probably not the best option, training method for that. Like that's doing something different. That's working, that's more of kind of a strength endurance, working on the, a different, thing. So understanding what are the methods work on, and then you can understand, well, how would this fit into a training block? So when you see a new training method, like try to understand, like, okay, what is this working on? Is this working on, strength endurance? Is this working on power? Is this working on just kind of basic movement skills? And then once you kind of understand what bucket that method falls into, then it's easy to understand where you can fit those methods into the training blocks, and which methods are more appropriate than others, and how to progress those methods within the training blocks. And then also the movement skills, and this comes down to just choosing the right exercise for the right person at the right time. And so, there's a misconception. You don't want to look at, we call them easier basics, I guess it'd be a better way of looking at it, like basic movement skill exercises. Like once you progress past a what we consider to be an easy, simple movement, it doesn't mean that you never want to go back to it. But it's also understanding that the more advanced exercises aren't necessarily better for you if your movement skills aren't there. So, for example, if you don't have a really good hip hinge, then a kettlebell swing or a dumbbell cheek curl is probably not the best movement for you, exercise skill for you. And so that's a big part of the progression. And also it applies a lot to bike skills, because as your movement skills progress, it's going to affect your bike skills. And understanding how those movement skills affect your bike skills is really important, because you can then start to deconstruct and say, okay, if I want to get better at this bike skill, well, what's the movement skill behind it? And then, all right, now I can start looking at, okay, what's the progression for getting better at this movement skill, and where am I at on this progression list, and what's, how do I get to that next level? And so that's, how you really impact your program from a movement standpoint. You got to remember that your strength training is really just a form of movement practice. And we're not just trying to get stronger. Like we're trying to practice movement. We're trying to improve our movement efficiency and movement quality where it counts the most, and that's on the trail. And so, just understanding how to use your proper progressions, it will help you kind of understand, well, what exercises are better than others at this time for me. And so, last is integration. And this is extremely important as well. I probably said that a lot. All of these are extremely important. It's how do you fit mobility, strength, cardio, and skills training together to complement each other? And within that, you also need to include riding. Like cardio training and riding, riding is cardio training. So I understand, like you separate the two. Like we look at cardio training and stuff that you're doing like off of the trail, kind of separate from trail riding. But again, this is a big mistake that a lot of riders make, is they don't integrate things properly because they don't see that trail riding is cardio training. And so they're trying to do a lot of hard trail riding and hard cardio training, not understanding that they're overlapping each other, and you're really just burning that candle at both ends, and you're not able to work like you need to get the results that you need to with either one. So, but how do you fit all this stuff? So, if we're early off season and mobility is the emphasis, or if we're looking at strength because we're getting towards the middle of the off season, towards the season, or are we looking at cardio and skills, which is late off season and during the season, like those, and we need these other things involved, right? Like it's never just drop one out. Like this is one of the problems with your standard, linear periodization, where you're like, all right, this is an endurance block, and so everything that you do is based on endurance. Like the strength training is all this high rep stuff, and all of your cardio and everything is based on just endurance, and then everything gets based on strength, and you have to have all of these other elements in your program at all times. It's just it's what percentage, right? Like you only have so much you can put in, but instead of putting 100% into one, it's more like, all right, we want to put like 70% into this one and 10% into this one and 10% into that one and 10% into that one or whatever, whatever the however you need to do it based on where you're at within some of the focus and the progression, answering those questions. So integration is extremely important, knowing how to get all these things together. And in my opinion, I don't know how you can consider it to be a mountain bike training program if you don't have all of these elements represented and accounted for. And so just buying something that tells you to ride a bike at this cadence or this heart rate or covers this thing, but doesn't have you working on the right mobility and the right skill stuff and working in the strength stuff and understanding like when it needs to be emphasized as well, a lot of programs out there unfortunately just give people what they think that they want, because I mean, just to be honest with you, in my experience, most people are looking for agreement, not advice. And so they think they know what they want. They need to ride their bike a lot. And so they get programs that just have them ride their bike a lot and are really lopsided in one area of this, and they don't integrate things well. And so, you don't have the mobility, strength, and skills that you need. And so, anyways, that's just knowing that you need these things and how to put them together is very important. So overall, focus tells you what questions to ask, right? Your focus, that's going to tell you like, all right, what do I need to do and how much of this do I need to do? That's going to get you asking those questions. And progression answers what to do. This starts to tell us like what exercises, what set and reps, just what exactly you're going to do. And then integration tells you how much to do. And again, it's like, are we doing a lot of strength training? We're doing 3 to 4 strength training sessions and we're cutting back on the riding, and or are we really, upping the mobility? Because you can only do so much, right? You only have so many hours in the day. Like more is not better, better is better. And unless you're a professional rider who's got nothing to do but train, you probably are pretty limited with how much stuff you can do. And so how much comes down to, well, how much time do you have? All right. Well, now we need to look at, here's our focus. What are you doing? What are we trying to do here with this program? Are you an enduro racer? Are you just a trail rider? Are you a cross country racer? Where are we at right now with your movement gaps and basic fitness and strength? And so again, getting that focus. And then once you have, this kind of gives you an idea of like, all right, now we get into the progressions, tells us what to do, and the integration tells you how much to do. So all three elements are related and you can't isolate them. And that's why it starts to get tough to explain. Like when I start trying to oversimplify things and say, well, focus tells you what questions and this tells you this, because then you got to keep going back. Like all of them kind of help each other. And so understanding that you need these three elements in your program is really the take-home story. So a good program will integrate the appropriate mobility, strength, cardio, skills training, and riding into your plan. And that's really the take-home message, right? And so there are a lot of ways to answer these questions. The important thing is to ask the questions in the first place. And that's really the point of, I guess, the FPI system of program design is just, it's just important to ask the question. So when people ask me, oh, do I need to be doing these intervals? It's like, I don't know. What are you doing them for? What are you trying to improve? What have you done before this? What's your plan after this? Like there's all of these other questions that go into. And then once I have this bigger picture, then I can say, yeah, that's a good idea. Or, no, that's probably not the best idea. And if you don't have the answers to those questions in the first place, then my response is usually, well, it's probably not a good idea. I mean, if you don't really know why you're doing it, and you're just kind of doing it, and it just seems disconnected with what you want, then it's probably not the best thing to do in the world there. So for a mountain biker, some of the real take-home points, for this are going to be things like ride your mountain bike to get better at riding your mountain bike. That, if you enjoy riding a road bike, that's one thing, but riding a road bike is not training for mountain bike riding. So this goes back to the focus thing. If you're a mountain biker, you need to be training on the tool that you're going to be using in competition. It's not enough to just be riding a quote unquote bike. You need to be riding a bike that provides the same efficiency challenges that you're going to be facing, because efficiency is extremely important. It's for performance improvement. And so using a more efficient training tool in the off season makes no sense, really, when you think about it from anything but just a tradition standpoint. But yeah, you're trying to force more efficiency out of the system over the off season, not give it ways to move less efficiently. And so using your mountain bike is extremely important. Taking time off of your mountain bike is extremely important as well, especially during the early off season, because you want to make sure that you're taking time to fill in these other movement gaps. Remember, you're not a mountain biker, you're a human being that rides a mountain bike. And especially if you're not paying your bills based on how you perform on your mountain bike, you're not a pro at that level, then you need to keep these other movement things in mind, because these are the things that are going to keep you moving well and performing well off of the bike late into life, which, trust me, becomes more and more important as you get older. You start to realize, like, being able to walk and get down, up and down off of the ground, and little things like that are important. And so taking time off of the bike during the early off season is important. And then two, just the or I guess not two, kind of next last is the skill stuff. This is something that really gets overlooked, and that is that the best riders in the world pedal the least. This has been found across the board: road cycling, mountain biking, whatever it is. The fastest riders actually pedal the least. And so what it means, they're really good at pedaling. When they get a chance to pedal, they're very powerful and efficient at it. So there's something to that. But the other thing is that they're very efficient when they're not pedaling. Basically, their skills, their ability to maintain proper balance and body position, to move efficiently in all the different demands that the trail asks of you. And so making sure that you have skills as part of your program, whether it's in the gym and you understand how you're using exercises to progressively work on the movement skills behind the bike skills, or it's having focus during, so like, for example, I like to give riders a 4-week focus. So, all right, this 4 weeks, I want you to focus on just body position. I just want you really aware and cognizant of body position. Next one is, next month I'll have you focus on riding switch foot more. So, having a skills focus for the month when you're out on the trail, and having time that you're practicing that is very important. And so those are kind of the main things that I think that riders, like, if you sit down and you ask yourself these questions, that you'll see that these are the disconnects. If you look at most mountain bikers' off-season training programs, most of the time I'm like, are you sure you're training for mountain biking? I mean, it looks like you're training for road riding. I'm not sure what you're training for here. There's little to no skills training. There's little to no real movement and strength training here. There is a huge, huge emphasis on pedaling-based cardio. Remember, pedaling is not the only way to build your cardio. There are other ways to build your cardio. And cardio is very specific to how you build it. So pedaling-based cardio has some transfer to other, but it's pretty much specific to pedaling. So you have most people have this heavy pedaling-based cardio program that's emphasizing, low tension, high RPM spinning. And again, it's like, none of this represents the trail. None of this, it looks like the trail in any way, shape, or form. And it's just, so again, this is why I raise an eyebrow at some of the things that I see, and why my programs tend to look markedly different than some of the other programs. It's basically because these are the questions that I ask, and as you can see, they'll lead you to some different answers. So that's it. You can learn more at bikejames.com, and again, I'm going to be sticking around here to answer everybody's questions that you might have. And but I hope that this makes sense. Again, there are no hard and fast answers. That's the hard part here. I wish I could just tell you, like, hey, do this, and this will work for everyone at every stage of the game and at every stage of their riding. But that's not it. It's more a matter of knowing the right questions to ask and then how to like filter the information to put it in the right buckets so that you can answer those questions. That really is what it boils down to. And you may not necessarily be doing this to write your own training program. You should be doing this. You are your own best advocate. So you should educate yourself to the level that you can look at a training program and make an informed decision as to whether you think that this is going to be a good idea for you or not, and something that would be worth investing your time and energy into. Because, like I said, there's nothing worse than investing your time, money, and energy into an off-season training program and then hitting the trail the next season and being like, what did I just do? I just wasted all that time. And so, which is an extremely common story, unfortunately. I was just talking with a client who was visiting me over the weekend. That's exactly what he told me. Last off-season, all season on a road bike, on a compu trainer, and hit the trail the next in the spring. It was like, man, it just felt like I hadn't done much of anything at all. And versus doing the strength training, focusing on the skills and mobility, and it's a marked difference. It feels when you hit the trail, you feel like I never stopped riding, or you're actually like better. And so when you do the right stuff, it can make a huge impact. So anyway, so that's it. I'm gonna go ahead and stop sharing the screen here and go back here. And so excellent. So that's it. I don't see any questions. I got a little muscle sign from John in the chat room. So yeah, muscle sign back, buddy. That's it. If I still got a couple people online, so if anybody's got any questions before I wrap up here, certainly jump in and let me know. But like I said, hopefully that made sense. It's one of these subjects that it makes sense in your head, and then you try to explain it, and you're not always sure whether it comes across as clear as you hope that it had. And so yeah, Hans, no problem. Said Hans says thanks. So anytime, I really like doing these webinars because, like I said, it forces me to try to learn my stuff better so that I can help teach it to you guys. And yeah, just really enjoy it. Let's see. Okay, we got some questions coming in. Mike, what's a good way to assess your skills? Well, a good way to assess your skills, most people probably got a pretty good idea of where they have problems with their skills. The real question is, where is the problem with that skill? For 90% of riders that I've come across, they really don't have body position down like they need to. And so what happens is, if you don't, good body position, a good attack position, which is where you're going to start initiating a lot of your trail skills from, like cornering the bike and just kind of like descending through rock gardens and navigating stuff like that. The you got to think about spreading your weight out over the top of the bike, because the trick is, you got to get enough weight behind the center of gravity, your bike's center of gravity, so that you're not going to flip over the handlebars. But you need weight on the front end to keep pressure on the front tire so that you can steer. And as soon as you start to lose that, as soon as a good neutral position in general is going to be your chin over your stem. And the closer your chin is to your stem, and again, like, don't get focused on chin to stem. It's more, I got to get my butt back and my chest down. And if I'm doing all of those things properly, it will result in my chin getting down close to the stem. Whereas if you just focus to, like, oh, I got to get my chin down there, you can do all sorts of funky stuff. So don't get too hung up on the chin and the stem. The chin is more of kind of a landmark that you can use to check yourself. So if you've gotten down into a good position, then you can check and see, and like, okay, yeah, all right, I'm there. And it's also a real good landmark to check when you're on the trail. Like, if your face starts to come away from your stem and you're not meaning to do it, like, you're not, moving yourself, then what's happening is you're starting to lose the weight spread. You're starting to centralize the weight. You're starting to take weight off of the front end, and you're starting to lose your, so that takes off your ability to brake and corner. And so my point is that you want to really own that body position. Make sure that that's not it, that whatever skill that you're finding yourself having trouble with, that it's not just a matter of when you go to execute it, that you lose the body position that you need. and then just being, cognizant and working that on the trail. But I mean, as far as assessing the skills, it's really, body position is kind of the first and foremost. You got to make sure you got that dialed because that's extremely important. The second one, standing paddling is a skill. That's another one that most people really don't have down very well. You need to spend time working on standing paddling. So those two are kind of the top two that I find people struggle with. And once you have those two down, the others are a lot easier to pick up. And so, the others being cornering and then, manualing and then lifting the rear end and kind of taking those things into bunny hops and stuff. So that's the cool thing with mountain biking. Like really, there's only a few skills. Everything else you do on the trail is really just, it's a handful, like switchbacks. Switchbacks are just a combination of switch foot riding and cornering, and it's a combination of these other skills. And so, but anyways, hopefully that answers your question. It may not have, but feel free to follow up if you have anything there. I'm just kind of getting rid of some of the ones here. Examples of a training block. So John wants to know about examples of a training block. So for like a GPP, general physical prep, training block. Training block's generally going to be 8 to 12 weeks long. So you're looking at 2 to 3, 4 week phases within that. And so, for like exercises, I might progress for like the hip hinge over. I might progress from something like the Bulgarian goat bag swing to a kettlebell sumo deadlift to a stagger stance deadlift. And within the sets and reps and stuff, like progressing from, 3 sets of 10 to 3 sets of 8 to, 3 sets of 5. And again, this is pretty standard. It's not, there's no magical, people are like, wow, that's pretty like simple. And it's like, yeah, simple. No one said it, simple's not easy though, right? Like we're not talking about this being easy. It's just simple progression schemes where you're working from, the higher reps down to the lower reps. We're working on kind of building the muscular endurance and the postural endurance. So doing things like the 2-2-0 tempo, in phase 1, phase 2, adding, like a 3 second pause at the bottom. Phase 3, just really just kind of letting the load, maybe adding like a pause at the bottom. But it's so, that would be kind of an example of like how you would progress. Look at, okay, what's the point of this block? First, you got to figure out what's the point of the block. What is it? Is this, general physical prep, which is, generally kind of early off season? Is this specific physical prep, which is late off season? Is this competition, which is in season? So first, you got to answer that question, and then you can start to, like I said, now you start to see like, okay, what's an appropriate progression of exercises? What's an appropriate progression of set and rep, loading parameters throughout this? And then you just kind of, plug that in. So yeah, I know that's probably not super specific. So again, if you have like some specific questions within that, please let me know. But that's kind of an example, like I said, of what I would do with just like an early prep. Start with the basics and move to the more advanced stuff, and really the exercise, a lot of it boils down to like where are you at with it. So even if I got someone in like a late, off season, where if someone I had them from the beginning, they would be doing more advanced exercises than someone who isn't. So even though I might still be using similar loading parameters because it's late off season and we're trying to get similar things, the actual exercises that I choose are going to be different because each rider is going to be in a different place in their movement progressions. And so, but again, so hopefully that gives you an idea of kind of how it would work. All right. So Hans says, if I just focus on the kettlebell conditioning program in the off season, would that suffice combined with base aerobic training? Yeah. And remember, we're always talking, good, better, best. So we're always, the question is compared to what, right? So is that a good, Is that a good plan compared to what most riders are doing? Yeah, that's great, because most riders don't have something like the kettlebell conditioning program, which works on, grip strength, endurance, and your postural, your mountain bike specific movement, postural endurance. Big ass fucking term, I know, but it works on the postural endurance that you need on the bike in a very specific way. And the kettlebells are cool because they do it in a way that like dumbbells and barbells have a tough time doing as effectively. So that's why, like, even in my ultimate MTB conditioning or ultimate MTB workout program, I've got kettlebells in there. But the yeah, so because you're getting elements of mobility, strength, high tension cardio, which even within cardio, you have to look at, there's a difference between high tension and low tension cardio. And everybody listening to this, if you've been on the trail before, you know exactly what I mean. When you're just sitting there cruising along, it's low tension. As soon as you got to kind of lock down to keep the wheels spinning, that starts to turn in, that's high tension cardio. And the problem is, when you don't work on that, then you spend all of your time running from it on the trail, right? And so you're just constantly trying to get the lightest bike possible, and you're trying to get all the gears possible so you can get the easiest gearing possible. Because if you can keep gearing down and keeping things light, it keeps you from getting pushed into high tension mode as much. But eventually the trail is going to force it out of you. The trail forces you into high tension mode. You have no choice. And so you get forced there. You don't have any high tension cardio. Your body doesn't know what to do when it gets pushed into that place metabolically. And so it really starts to fatigue you faster than it should. So anyways, yeah, that the kettlebell conditioning program is a great off-season choice. I mean, personally, I think the ultimate MTB workout program is the best, because it's just everything integrated in, kind of my no holds barred workout program. But I know that not everyone has access to, a full gym and or blah blah. So the kettlebell, the dumbbell, like those programs are based on, all right, if we have this tool, we have some restrictions here. What's the best way to use these systems and all these things that I use with the ultimate with a kettlebell? And so, so anyway, so that's kind of how I look at it. When people ask me, it's like, well, what's the best? I'm going to tell you the ultimate's the best. But if you're telling me, like, okay, I'm going to use the kettlebell in conjunction with this, like, man, that's a great plan. You're gonna do really well with that. So anyways, hopefully that answers. And as far as like the base aerobic training goes, remember the how you're doing it is important. So make sure you're using your mountain bike as much as possible. Even if you're on the stationary bike, remember the whole idea, like, our cardio system's dumb. It doesn't know anything. It responds what the brain tells it to do. The brain is the one in charge. What the brain wants to do is it wants to start to be able to guess. It wants to be able to guess what is going to happen so that it can already decide like what it's going to do, like how to react to it. And so the performance gaps pop up when there's a difference between what the brain's expecting and what it encounters. And so this is one of the reasons why when you spend your whole off season on a road bike and you're in just a different position, you're dealing with different tension levels because of the efficiency of a road bike, all of these things, like, this trains your brain. Like, yeah, you're training your cardio system, but your brain is getting used to this. And then you start doing something different, and your brain, it doesn't matter what you're like, man, my heart and lungs and vascular system and blah blah blah. It's like your brain's like, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, I do, but like, this isn't exactly what I'm used to. It's going to take me a little bit to like get up to speed here. So that, again, it's part of like the focus. This is why remembering that you're a mountain biker and keeping the right focus, because it's always about training the brain to be able to efficiently predict, not guess, and predict what is going to happen so that it can respond appropriately. And so that's why, how you move in the gym matters, how you move on your bike matters, which bike you train on matters, the environment matters. The environment matters a lot. So anyways, Hans, I hope that helps there. Mike says, thanks, James. No problem, Mike. I really enjoy doing these things. Thanks for taking the time to check it out. Jamie, what do you recommend as a substitute for riding as cardio training in the off season? Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like, honestly, if you want the best thing, go find a Brazilian jiu-jitsu academy and sign up and take a couple classes a week. It will train your grip and your cardio in ways that you never knew were possible. Like, you think that you got an idea what cardio is now, go put on a gi and go roll around with somebody for 5 minutes and get back to me on that. So, yeah, amazing off-season training for mountain biking, and then just the body awareness and the mobility and all the other things that you're going to gain from it are huge. And so, jiu-jitsu and climbing, specifically bouldering, I think is a great off-season training tool as well. So those two things would be my top two choices. Outside of that, I mean, getting outside and running and hiking are great. Swimming, just kind of things that are getting you kind of just your natural body movements going. You want to use different movement patterns. This is another reason why I keep picking on road biking, but again, like, we're the only athletes in the world that are told to play another sport to get better for your sport. It's like road biking is a sport. Like, road cyclists don't ride road bikes to improve their cardio. They do it to get better at riding road bikes, right? And so when you're riding the road bike in the off season, it's not really different enough from riding your mountain bike to get away from the same overuse injuries and really expose your body to different movement patterns, which is what we want. So it's either like get off of your bike completely, get away from it and do something, or you're on your mountain bike. Like, if you're a mountain biker, you're a mountain biker. You're on your mountain bike or you're off of bikes completely. And again, if you enjoy road riding, you enjoy doing these other cycling disciplines, that's fine. Do them. But just understand that that's not mountain bike training, and it's not really, in my mind, general physical prep. And so you're kind of in this like gray area where you're not being efficient and specific enough to get all the gains you need here, but you're not getting the benefits that you want from your off-season training, or the general physical prep stuff, where you're getting these different movement patterns and you're just kind of giving your body a break from the same overuse stuff that it gets exposed to on the bike. So anyways, hopefully that answers your question, Jamie. Mike says, cool, makes sense. Sounds like videoing myself in the trail might help identify body position issues. Yeah, man, videoing yourself is huge, both in the gym and on the trail. It's one of those little things that we just don't take advantage of enough, but you'll be surprised between what you think you're doing and what you're actually doing. Excuse me. But yeah, throwing a video camera or having somebody just video you along a section of the trail so you can kind of see how you move will definitely help. All right, Hans, to give a small bit of context, looking to train. Yeah. And anyways, I see he follows up with like very, very helpful. So the specifics of that's kind of beyond the getting too specific with that, kind of beyond the context or scope of the webinar here. But again, you're looking for 75 minute, 6 lap cross country race, and 30 kilometers approximately enduro races. And so you're already having a better idea about your focus, right? So if it's 75 minute, 6 lap cross country racing, 4 hour rides probably don't qualify as training for that, right? So again, it's not that you don't ever want to go out on a long ride, but if you're racing, if you make your bones, man, if that's where you make your whatever, your reputation and or your money, or just kind of what you're focused on, then over and under distance training in track, they look at anything that gets over or above, under or over 10% of your distance starts to get into another distance, right? So if you're running the 800 meters, then running down to 700 meters and up to 900 meters, roughly. I'm rounding up here, obviously, because 10% of 800 is 80. But getting beyond that, and you're starting to train something else. So you can go shorter to go fast, right? And that's your under distance training gets you going, working on your speed, and your over distance training gets you working on your endurance. And so, but that's When you're talking like specific, again, that's not to say you never go outside of that range. You just understand that when you are outside of that range, that's not specifically training for that range. And if you don't have a purpose for going outside of that range, which there are purposes for doing, but if you know what I mean, like you need to understand, like, why am I going outside of this range? Why am I doing 10-second intervals, which, you know, again, is appropriate. But if you understand, like, what am I trying to do with this? How is this supporting this? You know, why am I going for 4-hour rides? Whoever's doing your program should be able to answer those questions. They should be able to tell you, like, well, how is this specifically relating to this 75-minute effort or the enduro racing context? So, but anyways, so again, it's just the focus, man. It's already getting you asking the right questions. So, awesome. So, okay, John says, yeah, wasn't sure what the term meant. Yeah, training block. John was asking about the training block. Yeah, training block just refers to a group of phases or 4-week mini blocks, if you will, and that are focused on the same general thing. And so if we're gonna, you know, create a strength block, it would be, you know, 8 to 4 weeks of the focus being on strength with the other things there, but it's just the largest percentage of the time, energy, and efforts going into strength, or if it would be, you know, strength, endurance, or cardio, whatever. So that's the idea of a training block, is just knowing, like, you know, all right, one exposure over 4 weeks is probably not going to give the body what it needs to really adapt to this. And so it's another reason why stuff like CrossFit, which again, this is not it's CrossFit as a sport is a different thing. CrossFit training for mountain biking, not so much, because your body needs a more consistent exposure to a specific stimulus in order to get it to adapt significantly and more permanently. And so, you know, having, you know, one workout every 4 to 6 weeks where you're focused on strength isn't really going to significantly improve your strength. Whereas if you spend, you know, 8 weeks, more, you know, 2 4-week blocks with that focus on strength, you're going to come out of that much stronger, and that strength is going to be much more well grounded. It's going to stick around more. So when you switch your emphasis to something else, you still have strength. So we're still doing some stuff with it. It's not going to erode as quickly. So, anyways, hopefully that helps even clarify more. Not that you were asking for more clarification, but that's just what I do. Jamie says, yeah, you're looking at a BJJ. Do it. And then let me know what you think. Drop me an email at james@bikejames.com and let me know how you enjoyed it. You might who knows, we might have another BJJ convert. It's funny, mat time and trail time start fighting with each other. I hate to admit, but BJJ can become your new addiction. So all right, I got one more question here. Mike says, are using power meters a great way to see progression? How many watts is a good base level? All right, so this is one I have to plead a little bit of ignorance in that I don't have a lot of experience training with power meters. I just, for a couple reasons, one of the main reasons being that just the majority of my clients have never had them. And so it's just never made any sense for me to spend a ton of time with them. Now, with that said, they're a great way to see progression, yes, because they're external numbers like power, and I group heart rate in with this as well, but there's this idea of, like, you know, using external numbers to drive training. And the idea is that it's a backwards thinking thing, right? They look at the best and they say, well, what do they do? What's their VO2 max? What's their power? Blah, blah, blah. And so there's this idea that, like, well, if I can achieve these numbers, I'll be this person. And then the training programs get created based on that. Like, well, I've just got to get you from this number to this number with this assumption that if you get here, then you're gonna be this person. And as we all know, it doesn't always work that way. In fact, it doesn't work that way a lot of times. So I like to use RPE, rate of perceived exertion. For me is a much better tool when I'm doing cardio. And so what I'll do is I'll use power and or heart rate to measure progression, because You want to have a number that gives you some sort of objective number, you know, some sort of objective view of how you're performing. But on the trail, when you're on a hard ride or if you're racing, like, are you using power to dictate how hard you go? No. What are you doing? How you feel, right? So again, there's this disconnect. There's this disconnect. If you're not looking, if a power meter is not what you use to dictate how hard you go, then but that's what you do in training. But then you jump on the trail, and you go into a race, and that's not what you're doing there. There's a disconnect, and this again goes back to that focus thing, where if this is driving your training, then anyways, well, and that's not what you do here. It can be a disconnect. So point is RPE becomes extremely important. So using the RPE as a way to gauge how hard you're going, and then using the power meter to, you know, let you objectively look at. So now you can attach it. So you know, for you on a, you know, a set of intervals where you're doing 10 seconds on and 60 seconds rest, and I'm telling you to, you know, hit these at like an RPE. I want you doing like, you know, 8 to 9. I want you going hard on these things. We're not going to tanks. I don't want you burning out on one, but I want you like going hard. And you know, and then you see, well, this is the power that I'm at. Like an 8 to 9 for me on this workout is this number. And as that number goes up, then you know that you're progressing. But the problem is if you get really stuck on the external numbers, you can screw yourself. Because, for example, the you know I here's an example I use. Like, if you walk in to do a workout and you just found out that you won the lottery, and you know your the dog that you lost a couple weeks ago came back home, and you know just I don't know, some other ridiculously happy thing, whatever. And so it's just, you walk into the gym and you're just like pumped. You're just like, yeah, dude, this is the best day ever. And you know, your 8 to 9, your performance, the numbers, the wattage that you're gonna put out with an 8 to 9 on that day is gonna be good. It's gonna be real good. It might even be like a PR kind of thing, you know. So if you don't have some sort of context, then you come in the next week and you know, that same dog got ran over, you found out the lottery ticket was fake, you know, and your girlfriend left you because of the whole thing. Your 8 to 9 is gonna be different. But if you're looking at that number that you put up last week and you're like, oh man, I gotta beat that number. I gotta beat it. And you're just like, hell or high water, I'm gonna beat that number, because if I don't, I'm not progressing. You can burn yourself out. You can kill yourself. This is, now that's an extreme example, right? Obviously not kill yourself, but you're gonna, you know, metaphorically blow yourself up. But anyways, my point is that you're the numbers are important, but you don't want to get too hung up on them. Use them for like progression over long term, because you know, enough times, like that's an extreme example that I just gave you, but enough times doing that a little bit over a long period of time adds up. And so yeah, so that's why for me, I just caution people, like, yeah, use power meters, but don't get too hung up on them as far as driving your day-to-day workouts. Use them more as kind of an objective gauge to watch trends over time, as opposed to, you know, really driving you nuts on a day-to-day basis, sort of thing. So anyways, hopefully that answers your question, Mike. And as far as how many watts is a good base level, I have not the slightest clue, to be honest with you. If you're riding faster on the trail, then that's what I'm worried about. It's funny, I had a client ask me that one time. He's like, well, how do we measure this? You know, these tests we're doing. I'm like, dude, I want to know if you're riding faster on the trail. Are you having more fun? Are you feeling better on the trail? Like, that's the important thing. And like, I don't care what your base watts are. Like, they can go down for freaking all I care. If you're actually faster and you're riding, obviously that probably wouldn't be what happened, but I don't care. I don't care what your base watts are. I just care if you're like moving better, able to perform better on the trail, having more fun. You know, that's where it really counts. So again, this is where people that spend all off season, you know, my last point, and I'll wrap up here, but they spend all off season focus on these programs that are focused on got to build these numbers, build these numbers, build these numbers, and then they jump on the trail and it's like, whoa, Like, why do I not feel like I should? I feel like I should feel better for these numbers that I hit. I should feel better on the trail. Why don't I? And because a lot of times the numbers weren't as important as some of the other things that can't get measured as effectively as power can. So anyways, so there you go. So right on. Well, I guess that's it for the questions. Probably ran everybody off with my long rambling answers there. But anyways, it's been a pleasure doing this webinar. Plan on doing another one here soon. You can find out more about me and the training systems and stuff like that that I'm talking about at bikejames.com. I've got a bunch of free stuff you can sign up there to get an example, free kettlebell workout, free dumbbell workout, some free 15-minute workouts, just all sorts, whatever you need, you can get an idea of how this stuff goes together. So, anyways, been a pleasure. Really appreciate everybody for checking this out. And yeah, once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. Check me out at bikejames.com, and I will talk to you guys in the next webinar.